Hey everybody, Chad Wesley Smith here, Beers with Chad. Today I'm going to be answering some of your questions about youth training, about my favorite sports movies, and about would I rather fight a Marissa-sized duck or 10 duck-sized Marissa's, and what are the real implications of that? I am drinking from Stone Soaring Dragon Imperial IPA. It's very good. And if you're interested in online coaching, Juggernaut Apparel, Juggernaut Books, visit jtsstrength.com. Use JTS10 to save on virus tights. That's not the coronavirus, but the apparel company virus. Great compression gear, shorts, all sorts of good stuff. Jug Life saves on Roan, and CWS saves on all things RP, including the RP Diet app. Cheers.
Welcome to Beers with Chad.
Hey everybody, what's up? Chad Wesley Smith here, Beers with Chad, coming at you again. Today I'm drinking what I'm imagining is a special edition here, Stone Soaring Dragon Imperial IPA with white tea. That sounds like it's probably healthy. So today I'm going to be answering a couple questions, some training stuff, some non-training stuff that came in through Instagram, some today, some previously. Cheers. That is very good. Again, that is Stone Soaring Dragon Imperial IPA. So let's just hop right into the questions. First up, and apologies for mispronouncing people's Instagram handles. Lipton one. I'm not sure. If I could go back in time and start my life in another era, what would it be? So I'm taking this question as if I could live in another era, live like a certain aspect of my life in another era. So I guess to be fair to the question, I would want to have been born in like the early 60s, like let's call it 1960. And that would have put me into like high school and college in the late 70s, early 80s. And really the era that I want you to imagine for the purposes of this answer is the time in America that Dazed and Confused is filmed in. So I would really just like to be a character in Dazed and Confused. I think I would do very well in small town Texas life in the late 70s, early 80s, where being a high school football star was just a revered thing. So my best friend, and Marissa will make fun of me because I'm a grown-ass man who refers to someone as my best friend, but I have no shame in that. It's very important, I think, that men, especially as they get older, actually have a best friend and someone that, if you want to learn more about the importance of male friendships, you should read my favorite non-training book, Season of Life by Jeffrey Marks. But my best friend, Paul, is from a very small town like this called Combine, Texas, which is about 1,500 people northwest of Dallas. And he was like a real life Varsity Blues, all state quarterback, at a high school of 400 kids, but yet they still had an indoor turf practice facility. While there was 1,500 kids in his town, there was about four towns of that size that all went to Crandall High School, the Crandall Pirates, and he said that they would have 6,000 to 10,000 people attending their football games. So that's everyone in the town, like when the stores are shutting down with a little sign, gone to the game. So yeah, that kind of Dazed and Confused type of time, the era of Texas where Friday Night Lights, the book and the movie are set in, that late 70s, early 80s, could drive a fucking Trans Am and listen to classic rock. I would be friends with Matthew McConaughey's character Wooderson without a doubt. And I still maintain that Matthew McConaughey did not even know that they were filming a movie. He actually just wandered upon the set and was like, what y'all doing around here? What are all these cameras for? Oh, y'all filming a motion picture? Sounds pretty cool. Mind if I'm in it? All right. I also have the same belief about Gary Busey, if you ever watched Entourage, that Gary Busey did not know that he was in a TV show when he was on Entourage. He just showed up. So that's my answer to that. Late 70s, early 80s, I'm in high school at that time, into college. I also just really like the style of shot putters and power lifters and stuff back then. Besides that, they had like really cool hair and headbands. I started wearing that headband to throw the shot put in when I was in high school. High socks, short shorts, just sort of like this real badass era about them. So I would say that to answer my boy James Townsend out there. James, what's up, buddy? Which is best, Friday Night Lights or Varsity Blues? I much more enjoy the movie Friday Night Lights than Varsity Blues. And the book by Buzz Bissinger is very good too. Fun fact about Friday Night Lights author Buzz Bissinger. I think I read that he had spent something like $170,000 on leather clothing. That seems remarkable to me. Next question, at Dustin and Doug with two U's, asks, at what point in a youth's athletic training should they move from general to specific work? So this question is, I don't want to say is flawed, but is short-sighted in the way that it's presented. And maybe, I'll give you the benefit of the doubt here. And it's not to pick on you, you're very limited in the characters that you can ask these questions in. So there is not a fine line of delineation in which anyone's training moves from general to specific. This happens all in a bigger continuum of the athlete's entire career trending from more general to more specific work, and then at different points in that career there'll be phases of training that are more general or more specific. So if we were to take the entire the entirety of the athlete's career, look how messed up my pinky is. This is from the week before the week that I did that I tore the tendon in my thumb. I also have a torn tendon in here and dislocated both of the joints in training training the Saturday prior to the match with SEMA where I tore the tendon in this. They didn't do surgery on this, but look how shitty it looks. It's had a bunch of different braces. I can make a fist now, but I can't make a straight line, so sorry that you have to look at my horrifying pinky. So if we were to look at the entire continuum of their career, this is the start of all training to the end, or to the peak of their sport career. If higher is more specific, they're gonna go from least specific to more specific. But if we were to look at just a fragment of that, because this maybe is the span of 20 years, if we were to look at just a small section of that training, like 1 year of training, in their teens or something, let's say they're in high school, they'll have times where, they go from less specific to more specific, like this is off season, preseason, in season, and then off season, preseason, in season, it'll have those kind of trends. So overall, they're gonna be trending up in specificity throughout their career. When that should actually occur is up to a lot of factors. The first thing to consider, and probably the most succinct answer I can give to this, is there should become more attention to the specific aspects of training. So sport practice, when the athlete has the ability to effectively execute these parts that make up the sport. Let me use my niece for an example. I spend many Saturdays at my niece's soccer games. So my youngest niece, Brooklyn, will turn 9 years old this summer, and we watch her play soccer a lot. And as I'm pained by watching these 9 year olds play soccer, and I'm using that very loosely, the thing that I keep trying to reiterate to my brother, who is not the coach, but that the way that they're approaching teaching these kids about soccer is essentially useless. They're trying to teach them soccer strategy, but they cannot execute the parts of soccer. So if we were to break the game of soccer down into its fundamental parts, that is first and foremost running, stopping, changing direction. Then it is, dribbling the soccer ball and running while dribbling. Then it's controlling the soccer ball, being able to run, stop, pull the ball back, change direction with the ball, pass, receive passes. So all of these individual parts, if someone cannot execute those parts of the sport, the fundamental concepts that make up the greater sport, then they are not ready for more specific training. So this goes to to extend this outside of just the sport, the sporting movements, to look at the physical preparation. Most athletes' training is fairly general for the entirety of their career. It is not going to be until, depending on the sport, like throwing, shot put discus has a lot of special strength exercises that are extremely beneficial to it, and those can become a part of the sport, probably in high school, maybe even earlier. Though take all of the biological ages and time frames that I talk about with a grain of salt, because if you have someone who starts throwing the shot put when they're 7 or 8 years old, they could be ready for those exercises when they're 11 or 12. But if they don't start throwing till high school, they might not need a special strength exercise till they're 17 or 18. And even at that point, it's going to make up a small portion of their training. So, even like NFL players, NBA players, the majority of their physical preparation training is still general in nature, because almost everything in the weight room for an athlete is general. So hopefully that, sheds a little bit of light on it. You can check out the Jug Life episode, Youth Training Considerations, and I can give you a quick synopsis of that. Essentially, I try and look at the career of an athlete in four phases. The first phase is from, phase zero is from like birth to 5 years old. During that time, you want to just do what James Townsend does with Princess P and Freya. Go check out their Instagrams and stuff to see the most athletic, amazing little girls that have ever existed. So from zero to five is just play. Do as much different stuff as you can, play as much as you can. Introducing swimming very early, even before they can walk, is great, and as early of gymnastics exposure as possible. But starting now in phase one, that's about 5 to 9 years old. Again, the biological ages aren't hard indicators because a lot more is about development. From 5 to 9 years old, you wanna have your kid, and this is typically when organized sports are an option, have your kid do four different sports throughout the year, so one per season. And two of those could be gymnastics and track and field, which are essentially like the basis of all other land sports, at least. But it doesn't need to be. So, you could have soccer and then basketball and then, flag football and then lacrosse, or baseball, or softball, whatever it is. And those are gonna be, maybe two time a week practices and one game on the weekends. But omnipresent through that time should be still some sort of general physical preparation. We can call it training, but I probably wouldn't think of it as training when you're dealing with 6 and 7 year old kids, unless they're extremely unique. And that training is going to be gymnastics-like activities, track and field-like activities. So that means calisthenics, that means tumbling, that means running, jumping, and throwing. It means a ton of variation of movement. And then as they move into phase two, we'll call that about 10 to 13 or 14 years old, now we're gonna wanna cut down to 3 sports per year. And the increase of the practices are gonna increase a little bit, maybe up to 3 times a week now, with a game on the weekend and an occasional tournament. Avoid, every weekend tournaments. And these are, again, 3 different sports. It's not soccer team A, then I go I don't go from fall league team to winter league team to spring league team to summer league team. No, 3 different sports occupying 3 seasons of the year, and then 1 season of the year that is just for GPP, just for general training. So now maybe they go soccer, basketball, and flag football. And still omnipresent throughout this time is some level of GPP, which is going to be a lot of gymnastics and track and field related activities. You could add in a little very, very light resistance training at this point, but it's probably not really necessary. So now, they're practicing maybe 3 times a week. They're doing another, 2 or 3 fun days of training. And then they have 1 season where they focus on training. And maybe even in that 4th season, they actually do gymnastics or track and field competition, because those are so general in nature. Then they move to phase 3, which is high school, so 14 to 18 years old roughly, and now we want to play 2 sports. You're going to have 2 seasons dedicated to that sport. It is going to be 5-6 practices a week, games every week, maybe multiple games a week. You're at the mercy of the school schedule, and then you have 2 off seasons dedicated just to physical preparation, preparing yourself somewhat specifically for the next sport. And even in that 4-year high school span, the off season, like for me, I did football in the fall and track in the spring. So my time in the winter, from the end of football season, about December till the start of track season in April, that was time spent preparing myself for track. And then the summer, after track season, before football season, was for preparing myself for football. And there's a lot of overlap between those. And, I was more specific in my approach to preparing for football, between my junior and senior year than I was between my freshman and sophomore year. That has to do as well with my understanding of training, as I've written my own program since I was about 14 years old. So you have this time for, practicing the sport, 2 seasons of that, and 2 seasons of just training. And of course, there should still be some physical preparation occurring during the seasons, and that'll vary sport by sport how much is happening there. And then finally, phase 4 is like the rest of the career, college and on, unless you're the most, 0.0001% of athletes in the world. That means you're doing 1 sport competitively, and you are creating annual plans and quadrennials around that. All right, again, that's Jug Life Youth Training Considerations. Go check that out for more in-depth info. Next question, Billy Westside asks, what are my favorite sports movies of all time? So football movie, I'd say Remember the Titans, I think is probably my number one. I do really like Friday Night Lights, the movie. Rudy is great. There's just so many good options for football. Basketball. Blue Chips. Blue Chips is without a doubt my favorite basketball movie. This is young Shaq. I think he had just finished his rookie year in the NBA. About to be in the NBA, Penny Hardaway playing Butch McRae, Shaq and Neon Badeau. Then they got some Larry Bird wannabe kind of guy as well, Nick Nolte. He's paying players, buying them cars. This was exposing, what came out about the NCAA the last couple of years. It was, foreshadowing that in the mid-90s. Great movie. Speaking of NCAA scandals, check out The Scheme on HBO, which is all about the big, college basketball players getting paid by shoe companies and all that stuff that the FBI got involved with a year or so ago. And the guy who takes the brunt of it gets absolutely screwed. And, like, the FBI set him up to an unbelievable level. He was not paying players or paying coaches in this way. And then a undercover FBI guy came along posing as a businessman and basically told him, "Hey, I'm going to give you this money and pay the coaches." And he's like, "I don't really think that's like the best plan to do this." And he's like, "Just do it. This is what I want." And then they arrested him for just doing what this guy had told him. It was total shit. But check that out, The Scheme on HBO. Baseball, I'm going Major League. A lot of good baseball movies. From my youth, Rookie of the Year, Little Big League, those were definitely up there for me as a kid. Hockey, Mighty Ducks 2, D2, that is my favorite one. We'd go 2, 1, then 3. 3 is meh. It has a lot of weird plot holes in it, like, why is Charlie's mom dressing in the exact same clothes and driving the same car from the first one? It's like 10 years later. But I digress. Honorable mention to Slapshot in the hockey category. Boxing, lots of great boxing movies. Rocky IV would be my number one. The Rocky IV training montage is about as good as training montages get, despite the clear lack of adherence to the principle of phase potentiation. He's training way too hard right up until the competition. That's probably a whole podcast in its own. What movies fuck up training the worst? But yeah, I'm sure, you know, I'm missing other sports and stuff, but yeah, Rocky IV for boxing. Now, this is a question that many people ask, some variation of, they ask it to me, it's asked all around the internet, is would you rather fight, insert name here, sized duck, or 10 or 50 or 100, whatever, duck-sized, insert name here. So for the purposes of this exercise, let's say someone asked me, would I rather fight a Marissa Inda-sized duck or 10 duck-sized Marissa Indas? And I saw this question, and maybe it's just the boredom of quarantine life, but I started giving it probably too much thought. And where we need to start when answering this question is what constitutes size? Is it height and weight, or like in a duck's case, length and weight? Or is it more of the total surface area of the duck? Because that is very important to understand to answer this question accurately. A mallard is about 24 inches, 2 feet long, and typically weighs only 3 pounds. Remember that, you know, birds to fly have like hollow bones, very, very low bone density. So even though a duck is like decent size from a surface area standpoint, it is extremely light. So if I'm fighting 10 duck-sized Marissas, Marissa's 5 feet, 115 pounds, so is she just shrinking down to be 2 feet tall, so 40% of her normal height, and she weighs relative, you know, she weighs now 40% of her normal weight, like, you know, what would that be, like 55 or like 50 pounds? So is she now 2 feet tall and 50 pounds? Because fighting 10 of those, now I'm dealing with 500 pounds of mass working against me. But if she's just the same surface area as a duck, if she's 2 feet tall and now has like bird bones, so she only weighs 3 pounds, that's a different issue. But it also presents an interesting problem. How is her strength affected by this? As she scales down to only be 3 pounds, 2 feet tall and 3 pounds, does she retain, so she's 40% of her height, does she retain 40% of her strength? Because if a 3 pound character, the 3 pound thing, had 40% of Marissa Inda's strength, its strength to weight ratio would be unbelievable. Imagine something that's 3 pounds being able to deadlift 40% of Marissa's best deadlift. Her best deadlift is 420 pounds. 40% of that's what, like, you know, 190 pounds? Imagine if something was 3 pounds, but it could deadlift 190 pounds. How explosive that would be. That thing would just be coming at me like duck missiles, duck projectiles. It would be launching itself at me. So that's not a good option either. So we need to define the parameters of this. Another question I have. I understand that the Marissa-sized duck looks like that movie where there was the giant duck that like walks on its back legs. Its name is escaping me. I understand that. But do the Marissa size, or do the duck-sized Marissas, are they just 2 feet tall Marissas? Or are they duck-shaped Marissas? And what is a duck-shaped Marissa? Is that Marissa's body morphed into the shape of a duck? Is that a duck-themed Marissa, like a duck with a Marissa head on it, and then like it's wearing booty shorts and long socks? Does Marissa have a beak in this situation? Because, you know, the beak, that has some attacking power. So I need to understand, is this, you know, some sort of Marissa duck hybrid that I'm dealing with? These are a lot of important questions that I do not think that people have, have taken into account when asking this question. Would you rather fight, you know, one this person sized duck or 10 of this person sized, that are duck sized? Very, very important questions need to be considered. Before I can give a proper answer to that, I need to understand the real parameters of this, because the idea of, you know, 3 pound duck shaped Marissas that can deadlift almost 200 pounds, being able to use their incredible relative strength to launch themselves at me, that is not something that I feel comfortable with. That is not something that I want. Plus, she fights dirty. Do these duck-sized Marissa carry tiny little knives with them? That could be problematic as well. So those are my questions for today. Hopefully that gave you some insight into youth training, some insight into my favorite movies, and some needless insight into the question of fighting ducks as humans, human-sized ducks, duck-sized humans. What does all that really mean? Again, today I am drinking Stone Soaring Dragon Imperial IPA. It's quite good. If you're interested in online coaching, all of our AI programs, all of Juggernaut apparel, books, you can find that at jtsstrength.com. You can use CWS to save on the RP Diet app, which I've been doing a terrible job of lately, but I have been cooking a lot of very delicious foods and drinking a lot of great beer, so, you know, priorities. JTS10 to save from virus, and Jug Life to save from Roan. Cheers to all you fine people out there. Have a great evening.